Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
We are on the brink of evaluating Caleb Williams in real time in Chicago, at Lake Forest, at House Hall. He could be there as early as Friday, yeah, potentially. And so that brings us to, what exactly are we going to hear? Who is the young man we're going to meet? And what is his personality like? I think we'll start out with just a three-minute chunk from the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark, who I thought was definitely on top of his game. He's a tremendous interviewer. He's really made the transition well into the media from his NFL career. He also has the gravitas that not a lot of us have. He has a Super Bowl ring, and I think that guys like Caleb Williams respect that more than they would your typical interview. And Caleb Williams addressed exactly what it means to him to be going number one overall and what some of his goals will be.
Speculation and people try to make it, somebody else might go number one. We've known this, yeah, the entire time. Right. Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears trade away Justin Fields. On that day, when that happens, what's your first thought?
I was in the car. I was driving to a business meeting, and I'm listening to music, bobbing my head. I probably got on Drake, and I'm chilling. I'm in West Hollywood area driving to a business meeting, and all I see is my phone explodes, whether it's actual just regular fans or whether it's ESPN, whether it's, you know, whatever the case may be. And I pick up my phone and it's going off, and I'm trying to figure out what just happened, because it went from just nothing and maybe a couple of texts to just like phone just do-do-do-do-do. I end up calling a couple of people, and it's like, well, we know where their mind and heart is at this instance. Let's prepare, get ready, and handle things, you know, accordingly. And you know, still do our, you know, due diligence on the situation and things like that. But in that moment, it was just like, it was kind of like, wow, because I didn't do my top 30, you know, visit yet. They didn't have my medicals and things like that. So they have it all now, but it's nothing. But it was, you know, and had a good time in my top 30, but. Yeah, it was interesting right then in that moment, because it was just so unexpected in that instance.
The most, I don't say pressure. You're just so cool, so I don't want to say the pressure of it. But just different times, coming off the Heisman, you know, Heisman season, going to the next season, or transferring, having to, you know, I don't say prove yourself at USC, or now jump to that next level. Like, the pressure on you, or the excitement, I would say, from you, at what level is the biggest one? Or where was that time when you, like, you might have been up a little late at night, or you were just like, I got to get this.
I set my goals. I set my season goals every year, and then I set my long-term goals. Other than that, I mean, chasing those things or trying to get those things don't bother me across my mind as much, whether that's, you know, the way I walk, the way I talk, how I act. How I treat people, and then how I get on that field, and how it's a different, you know, it's a different person. I, you know, that's kind of how I go about it. So I don't, you know, the got to get it, got to get all those things. Like I set number one on my list a long time ago. And once I hit them or once I pass them and can't do them again, I remove them. And once I achieve them or once I, you know, pass them.
Your list is your screensaver?
Yeah. My list is my screensaver. And
can I see it?
Yeah. My everyday screensaver. Yeah. I have a few other ones on here.
He's way more focused than I ever was.
He's way more focused than you are now.
That's a great way to end it. So Dan, how many times have you been in an interview with anybody and asked them to show you their screensaver on their phone?
Right. I mean, it's not often. And what I was going to say is there was a clear comfort established in that interview. And for those who haven't listened to it, I would advise you to go listen to the entirety of it because it's over an hour. It's almost 80 minutes where I feel like you really get to know Caleb Williams, David. And my first chance to have an audience with Caleb was in that massive horde setting at the Combine in Indianapolis. And I was just curious to see how he would kind of navigate those waters. Totally different setting, obviously. But I was impressed that day back in February. And I remember, I guess that was March 1st. And you and I talked about that at the time, that like just how at ease he seemed, how comfortable he seemed. And that seems to be part of his wiring. And the more I've had exposure third hand through some of these things, you get a real sense that not only is Caleb Williams authentic, but he's very self-confident, right? And unapologetically self-confident in a way that I think is going to help him survive in the landscape he's about to come into, where he's going to take arrows. I mean, you and I know very well that quarterbacks in Chicago are going to take arrows at some point. And I think they're going to bounce off him. I definitely feel more so that way than I did in late January when I started doing some of the background digging on how teams were trying to figure out who he was and what his DNA was. And I think in this interview and that clip you just played, you get some of that just that self-confidence that is very, very, infectious and contagious.
It is, and you don't want there to be too many heavy doses of that. You want to have a balance. You don't want to come across as too confident before you've earned it. I think he understands that and seems like a very smooth communicator and with a very easy confidence. It's not, on the surface, very overbearing, and he does seem better equipped. And I've said this before, and it bears repeating. You know, we're talking about a professional athlete coming into a professional sports setting.
Right.
Caleb Williams is not like other quarterbacks that have come into the NFL, frankly. I think he's sort of the first wave of the NIL athlete. He's worth millions of dollars before he signs his first NFL contract. And with that comes a lot of the celebrity. With that has come a lot of the reality of being a professional athlete and being in that situation. So this is not going to overwhelm him. I don't think that any moment is going to be too big for him. And you start to hear that when the more you listen to what he has to say.
Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So he also talked about, obviously, his goals of winning a championship. And this is how he sounded about helping Chicago with what he said and how he termed it his care.
About the number one pick, Keenan Allen,
yeah,
who is now a Chicago Bear, was at your pro day.
Yeah.
DJ Moore played extremely well last year. Cole Kmet. Ryan Poles and the Chicago Bears have tried, at least and to me, succeeded in making Chicago a place that has the requisite pieces,
yep,
to have a young quarterback be successful.
Yep.
If that is the case, if and when, I think when, we hear Caleb Williams' name called first, how does he help Chicago win its first championship since 1985?
Yeah. 85 Bears. One is through my care, bringing the community and showing my care for all three levels of for myself, of ball, for my teammates, and then for the community that makes game days, the game,
yep,
everything, the city lively and fun and enjoyable and all of that. And that's kind of three three things is care. Care goes a long way. Places that love football, places that care about football, places that have the same, you know, goals and aspirations in mind.
Was that in reference to thinking, is that the way he always talks, Dan, or is that a nod to his foundation, which is Caleb Cares, and a way to get that messaging out in a different context?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure. It's like a chicken and egg thing, right? Did that foundation get its name because of the way he speaks in that vein, or was it vice versa? I'm not sure on that front, but I again, like, that's another clip there, and tell me if you disagree, where you just feel purpose behind the things that Caleb Williams says. And it's a good thing. Now, look, like, there's other parts of that interview where he's talking about running down Tom Brady and winning eight Super Bowls. And you know, and there's a part of me that if I'm inside the building at Hallis Hall, I want to say, okay, like, look, like, subscribe to the big goal, little goal philosophy. That's a great big goal to have. Now, there's 175 little goals that need to be taken care of in the first year of your job as QB1 of the Chicago Bears in 2024 that need to be checked before you even start dreaming about eight Super Bowls. And so if you can compartmentalize and see the big goal, but also understand how to take care of the little goals, then you can go there. I don't like to see ambition just be kind of a naive set a grand target and then just, it's just words, right? Because we know how unrealistic it is for him to run down Tom Brady. If he won one Super Bowl in Chicago, the 85 Bears won one Super Bowl. They're the most iconic team in Chicago sports history by winning one Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So, like, you don't need to win five. You don't need to win three. If you win one here, you're going to have a statue. Okay.
I said that. Yeah. I said that in the morning show, on Mullenhaw. I appreciate the ambition and how lofty.
The chill.
you don't have to be here 20 years. You don't have to win eight. If you win one, you are a legend in Chicago. And then let's talk about the second one, because then it could be realistic. 20 years is a long time. If you're here a good eight, then let's talk about longevity. Because if you're here eight, that means that you're doing something right. And that would mean you're going to continue to want to stay and do some more. So I think, yes.
Like, Peyton Manning won two, right? And the last one was when he was down to his final, like, disc in his vertebrae late in his career in Denver, surrounded by a defense. So, and Aaron Rodgers has won one, and that's his idol, right? Like, it's one of his idols. Brady and Rodgers are the guys he talks about extensively. So I originally heard that clip, and I was just like, it was an eye roll clip that you see on social media, and you're like, all right. Then you listen to the 75 minutes of the interview, and you go, I like listening to this dude talk. And I had a conversation with Colleen Kane on Monday morning as we're kind of getting ourselves aligned, not only for draft week, but for the month and a half that follows it. Just talking about how there's depth to Caleb Williams that wasn't there with either Mitch Trubisky or Justin Fields. He has a level of introspection. There's layers to his personality. It's like, it's going to be compelling to be around him. In my job, it's great. In your job, it's great. It's going to be interesting, you know, at all times. And then someone else said to me, and don't forget, he's also famous, which is another part of this equation, is that, like, he is already famous. He's very well established and known in the sporting world, to the point where we're going to have to be ready for every single interview he does to be hyper-analyzed, aggregated, picked for nuggets. And it's just that's the existence that's going to be Caleb Williams in Chicago with the Bears.
Before we move on, he seems to have a knack for, he's one of those guys you think he's going to let somebody, he's going to let you in just a little bit. He might let some people in a little more, but you're going to be intrigued by how far he lets you go and how much he reveals. And even if it's a little at a time, you're going to want to know more. And that is, he's got a very compelling personality, and he does have some depth. That's a good way to put it. Finally, we have somebody in this role that is the center of attention in a sports city like Chicago that might deserve it and might be able to command it.
Yeah, well, and so two things to that. And number one, like, you know, like, I had a good relationship with both Mitch and Justin, and, like, you know, like, Mitch was just Mitch, you know, he's just kind of like a boring dude from Ohio. I hate to say that in those terms, but, like, there weren't these, like, complicated layers to his existence or his climb. You know, Justin was described from day one that he got to Hallis Hall as a little bit robotic in a good way. Like, people loved the fact that he could just turn into that worker that could just, you know, flip a switch on his brain and just grind, you know. But that was you saw him many times get up behind a microphone or a dais and seem totally disengaged, right? Mm-hmm. And you just be like, okay, well, we're not going to get anywhere. With Caleb, I think we're going to get somewhere every time we get an opportunity to talk to him. And I'm hopeful that our market and our beat knows how to handle that, knows how to take advantage of that in a way that is truly that has depth to it. The other point I was going to make is I've compared this to LeBron James many times over the last 3 months, and I do think there is a level of that where, like, the way he talks is going to bother a segment of the population. They're going to be annoyed by him the way there is a segment of the population that is constantly annoyed by LeBron James, right? Like, you're going to have your fanatics and you're going to have your haters. And in the middle, there's going to be a pretty good size of the audience. But, like, that's part of this as well. You know, like, every interview he does, there's going to be people that just go hard eye roll on it and go, oh, right, just win football games, dude, you know?
Right.
But so, like, that's going to be part of the existence, is that kind of that larger than life, every word you say is going to take on meaning that it's going to be fascinating to cover.
Polarizing is the word, and I think relevance is what we're going to get from everything he says and pretty much everything he does. So plenty more ahead for the Caleb Williams watch this week as we wait for Thursday night around 7:15 Chicago time when they take him off everybody's when they hand in the card.
Yeah, theoretically, I'll get a chance to talk to him 3 days in a row, Wednesday in Detroit, Thursday in Detroit, and Friday at Hellis Hall. So away we go. You know,
away we go.
Hopefully we go.